Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us on the telephone lines, Sean Wagner McGough from CBSSports.com, one of our NFL insiders. Sean, Jody Mac here in New York. How are you, bud?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Good. Now, I understand that you are Seattle-based. Is that correct?
Oakland-based, but from Seattle.
Oh, okay. Oakland-based now, but from Seattle. So you have an interest in the new hockey team they're expanding to in the NHL up there.
Very much so, especially since, being a Seattle fan, the Mariners are no good, never been good. So I'm excited to get some new blood in there.
Fair enough. Do you have a potential name for them? Just before we punched up, we were taking some suggestions from callers and tweeters and the like as to what they should call this new expansion team in Seattle. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I've got two. And my big concern is I want them to avoid a generic name. I think it needs to be local to Seattle. So I'd like the Sockeye, Popper Salmon. I think that would work well. Or I think the Totem would work well. My fear is they're going to pick something like the Kraken.
Yes! I like the Kraken. What do you got against the Kraken?
Because it needs to be, look, I'm a big Mariners fan, and the team stinks, but I love the name. It's very specific. It's very unique. It's not a random, animal or fish. I think it needs to be very specific to Seattle, and no offense to Kraken. It's a wonderful image. The one thing I'll give to the Kraken is I think the logo could be amazing.
Phenomenal.
That
could be a phenomenal logo and uniform.
I'm just not into the idea of people saying release the Kraken, and it seems a little bit corny to me.
Oh, it'd be so cool. It would be so. And I happen to know, I've done some Kraken research. There are tons of them in the Pacific Ocean up there in the Northwest. They haven't been spotted often, but from what I understand, and I have great below the level sources. Kraken a plenty up there in Seattle. And if they name the hockey team, they may be more apt to show their faces.
There's a rum called Kraken, and that's what my mind goes to. I think of the dark rum. So it just, I have too much connotation with other things.
Okay.
I prefer if they don't
right.
Kraken.
Right.
The good news is the Seattle Times did a name poll, and the Kraken, I think, was top seed, and it got upset by either the Sockeye or Totem, so I think I've got Seattle on my side here.
You're not going with Seattle, Courtney killed Kurt? Okay, yeah. Right over his head. No, he didn't think that was funny. I think it's funny, but that's okay. All right, let's talk about your Seattle football team then. Big game on Monday night against the Vikings. You mentioned the Mariners. It's been a long time between drinks of water in the postseason for them. Are your Seahawks going back to the postseason this year?
I think they are, and I think they'll beat the Vikings. And I'm not one to buy into the narrative of Kirk Cousins is terrible in big games. But you look at his statistics in big games this year; it's been pretty putrid. I went back and looked at it: eight touchdowns, five interceptions, 6.9 yards per attempt. I think going to Seattle is a really tough game, and I think the Seahawks win that game.
Fair enough. Is Russell Wilson an outside MVP candidate?
To me, no. And that's not a slight on him. I think it's just, you look at a guy like Phillip Rivers, who's having a better year than Russell, and he's barely even cracking, the top three. So it's a year of historically good quarterback play. The Seahawks lean pretty heavily on their running game. And you look at guys like Mahomes and Breeze and Rivers, and you can make a case for Aaron Donald. I think what they're doing is more impressive. I think Russell Wilson's having an incredible season. It's a tough year to be in the MVP race, though.
Understood. And, yeah, it's been Breeze and Mahomes 1-2 all year long, and I don't know that anybody has cracked that just yet. Get it? Crack that, Kraken. I'm still lobbying here. No, never mind. Eagles-Cowboys late game tomorrow. First place in the NFC East on the line. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. Does the winner have a chance to actually go to the postseason and do damage when they get there?
No, I don't think so. And I think the Cowboys are the better team. I think they have the better shot of upsetting someone. And I think both of these teams' ceilings are when their first playoff game loses the second. That being said, look what Dallas just did just over a week ago. They beat the Saints, and I think the reason I would rate them above the Eagles is because of that defense of theirs. And it's, for all the attention the Amari Cooper trade has gotten, rightly so, it's sparked their offense. They've won four straight games. You look at what their defense has done during their four-game winning streak, and it's really impressive. And they're not as good as, you know, a Bears defense or the Ravens defense, but I think they're in that next tier, and they're getting better. When you look at Leighton Vander Esch, your rookie, what he's doing and how he's getting better since Sean Lee went out. I think they're a dangerous team. I think ultimately they go up against the Saints in New Orleans. I think it's a different story.
Sean Wagner-McGough, CBSSports.com, NFL insider, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, another alliteration for you. Steelers, more finalist, as in championship game potential, or more fraud at this stage of the season in your eyes?
Sorry, did you say Steelers?
Steelers.
Yeah, you hear us stumbling, so I'm probably more pretender than contender, but I think they have enough talent. It's the question of can they put it all together. It's kind of been the question that has followed them for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. They always seem to stumble and blow a couple games like they did last week against the Chargers. Chargers are a good team, but when you go up that big, you shouldn't be losing that game. And as a result, they're not playing at home in the playoffs, and I think that's ultimately going to come back to bite them. I don't think they'll represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, but they are that team that I don't think anyone in the AFC wants to play them because, look, you have Big Ben, you have Antonio Brown. It's a team you don't want to face, but I don't think we've seen the Steelers play at a high enough level to consider them a contender.
Texans have reeled off 8 in a row. They'll be favorites tomorrow at home against the Colts. How hot do they have to be to us believe that they could potentially pull upset after upset and end up in the Super Bowl this year?
You know, I don't think, and this isn't a slight at them, I don't think there's a single thing they can do to convince us they're a contender. Because, look, they've reeled off 9 straight wins. They looked really impressive a week ago against the Browns, who have been competitive this entire season. Look, if you win 9 straight games and people aren't taking you seriously, I don't think it's going to matter much at the end of the year by beating the Colts, Jets, Eagles, and Jaguars. Those are 4 teams that probably aren't going to the playoffs. I think it's fair to say, just because what we're just talking about with Russell Wilson and MVP race, I think the Texans are a good team. It's just the bar this year, I feel like, has been raised substantially higher than in previous season. This is the best Texans team that Bill O'Brien has had there in a long time, and he's gotten into the playoffs a couple times, and they always seem to go one and done. I think we're looking at a pretty similar story, because if you're taking Houston to go into New England, to go into Kansas City, I don't think anyone's taking them. But look, you look at their roster construction. You have Deshaun Watson, who, when he gets hot, is just as good as anyone else in football, and you have J.J. Watt coming off the edge. I think they have a fighting chance in games. But I don't think they're going to – they could win out the rest of the year. They could end the year on a 13-game winning streak. And I don't think anyone's going to take them seriously.
You mentioned –
if it hasn't happened now, why would it happen?
If they do run the table, it'll be that much more interesting when we get to the postseason. You mentioned the Browns being competitive and hanging in games and the like. I got into a pretty good debate about this a couple of weeks ago. What were your thoughts on how Baker Mayfield handled his business on the field and with what he said immediately after the game and even during the week about the meeting with his ex-coach on the field after the Browns beat the Bengals?
So I love that Baker is willing to do that, and he's willing to say what he thinks and doesn't resort to cliches. Look, we have so many athletes, not just quarterbacks, but you look at Russell Wilson or J.J. Watt, two incredible players, and then you stick them in front of a microphone and they're so boring. They just resort to saying the same cliches that we hear every single other athlete talk about. So I think it's refreshing that Baker is willing to go and say stuff like this, and as he said, he's going to keep doing this, and I think that's really good for the league, and it helps him personally, his brand. That being said, I don't agree with his personal stance on this. I don't think, look, I've been criticizing Hugh Jackson for years, as we all have. This is what happens when you go 1-31 for your first 2 years as an NFL head coach with the Browns. There's nothing wrong with a guy getting fired and taking a job with a rival. He got fired. He's totally in his right to go back to the team that the only team that would have taken him at this point in the season, his old team. So I don't think there's anything wrong with Hugh Jackson did. I don't really understand why Baker and the rest of the Browns seem so offended he took another job. My guess is it had more to do with things that we don't know about than it actually did about him going to Cincinnati. But I have no problem with Hugh going to Cincinnati. At the same time, no problem with Baker saying what he said. I hope he keeps saying that. It leads to a more interesting NFL. We don't have enough of it.
Well, I like the interesting nature of it, too. Just slightly hypocritical. Did he not go from a Big 12 school to another Big 12 school? Hadn't he done the same exact thing during his career when one school said, yeah, never mind, you can leave now? He upped and left and went somewhere else competing against that former team. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, and this is why I think there's more behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't know about. I don't think anyone has a high opinion right now of Hugh Jackson as an NFL head coach. Therefore, it would not surprise me if things were going poorly behind the scenes with Baker and the rest of the team. I mean, you read things that have come out in the aftermath about before their last game in the pregame meeting with the commentators before the game, they were asking Hugh Jackson, an offensive-minded coach, mind you, who called the plays last year, they were asking him, why aren't you guys incorporating more college spread stuff in the offensive system? And Hugh Jackson goes, that's a good question. I don't know. And so it's either he's so out of the loop that he doesn't know what's going on offensively, or he's playing dumb to try to pass off blame to Todd Haley. Both of them ended up getting fired. Didn't matter. My point being, I think Hugh Jackson is a little bit of a clown. Therefore, wouldn't surprise me if there's more beneath the surface here, and it's not just about him going to Cincinnati.
Fair enough. Let me ask about one other ex-coach who is now just biding his time till the offseason. Mike McCarthy got his walking papers, two in-season firings with more than four games left to play is usually a pretty high number. You don't usually get that. Will Mike McCarthy be on an NFL sideline come September next year, take the year off, do the media thing to keep his face in out there in the public and his name out there and the like? What do you think the next 10 months holds for Mike McCarthy?
I think ESPN did report this week that he would consider taking a year off. And I think given how poorly the last couple years have gone in Green Bay, it seems like since 2016, we've all been writing the same articles about how the McCarthy offense is broken. It needs to be fixed. They need to get a new, fresh offensive mind in there. Stop wasting Aaron Rodgers' prime. I think to a point, the criticism has gotten a bit too far that we're probably devaluing Mike McCarthy as a coach a little bit too much. I think he's very much flawed. This is a guy who had a lot of success. So I think, in my mind, maybe it doesn't hurt if you take a year off. You know, maybe a year from now, things won't be as fresh, the criticism. We won't remember it as much. We'll have new targets that we'll spend all year talking about how terrible this play caller is. That I think maybe for his image, the best thing is take a year away, let people forget about how poorly things went down the stretch. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if someone offers him a job, because it's the NFL. They love retreads.
Shawnee, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. We'll talk to you again down the road. Thanks for a couple minutes tonight.
Yeah, thanks so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.